is a little bit different feeling episode from this time last week.
Literally,
as shocking as that is.
A week ago when we did this podcast, we had funeral music. We were so upset. We just did Ask PDPs and had a comedian on. And now a week later, the Rockies are in first place in the National League West by a full game and control their own destiny to win their first NL West title in franchise history.
Yep. Because baseball is a weird, weird game.
A lot can happen in a week, I guess, huh?
Huh. This is incredible.
It really is.
I don't know how we got here, but welcome to episode 150 of the Purple Dinosaur Podcast. We said last week, wouldn't it be cool if we recorded episode 150 and they recorded their they won their first division title, like, right around there?
Wow.
The Dodgers with a loss today or tomorrow, and the Rockies with a win today.
Today and tomorrow. It's a magic number three. Yeah, it's Friday the 27th or 28th. Sorry, Friday the 28th.
By tomorrow, they can clinch.
They can clinch a playoff spot tonight,
right?
With win and a Cardinals loss, and clinch the division with any combination of Rockies wins or Dodgers losses that total up to three over the next 3 days.
Oh my god!
Like, can you, like, let's just pause for a second. It's September 28th, and the Rockies control their own destiny to win the National League West.
Yep.
I'm just throwing that out.
Yeah, let's all have a moment of silence to think about that.
Because think about where we were 7 days ago. That's it. Just a week ago.
We answered your questions about nonsensical garbage.
We're so pissed.
And we're like, hey, let's not talk about baseball. Here's some funeral march music.
Since that time, your, mine, and our Colorado Rockies have done a lot of really good things in that time.
Yeah.
They won 7 straight games.
They have.
They have averaged 7.5 runs per game in that time. They have a +42 run differential in that time, basically saving their negative run differential division champ season. Sorry, Hayden. They've hit 9 home runs in that Phillies series, in which they outscored the Phillies 39-7. Their starting pitchers have a 1.06 earned run average in that time.
Pretty good.
With a 44-9 strikeout to walk ratio. They were 2.5 games back of the Dodgers at the start of the 7-game win streak. They are currently a game up. Wow.
What? How on earth?
How on earth are we here?
Oh my God. So it has been a fun week of Colorado Rockies baseball. The Rockies have not lost a game since we had Andrew Orvell on the show. So there's the key. We had Andrew.
They have not lost a game since I gave my new puppy a Rockies bandana.
Which is good, because they were winless until the Rockies bandana came into the puppy's life. They were winless, and now they're undone.
Yeah.
So the combination of those things appears to have turned things around. So with that, we welcome you to episode number 150 of the PDP. I'm Tyler Mon.
And I'm taking a sip of coffee. Sorry, I'm Anthony Masterson.
I've been doing the same thing. I somehow ended up waking up at 11:30 today. I'm a 14-year-old kid.
I wish I could do that without some dog jumping onto my balls, directly onto my balls.
I don't know why my dog does not do that. Like, my dog, ever since I got her, doesn't wake me up. I lucked out so much. Like, I'm going to get the world's worst dog, like, hopefully, you know, 30 years from now when this dog is done.
Does she sleep in the bed with you?
She does, yeah.
She does, yeah. Because Zoe does with us, too. Nicole really wanted that. And
Wow. I figured you would have been, I mean, you're so neurotic, let's be honest. I figured there was no way you were going to let that happen.
I'm not thrilled.
God, that makes me happy.
I'm not thrilled about it at all, because that dog, it loves cuddling up, which is great, but it also loves just, like, laying on my legs.
Oh yeah, that's,
like,
fun.
Switching in the middle of the night, just laying on top of my legs. And I'm like,
how is that comfortable for Zoe? But she does it anyway. Dogs are
my
so
bony ass legs. You know, I don't know. But, like, now I've had back pain all week. I'm like, oh, this is good. This is great.
You'll get used to it. Just calm down. Calm the hell. What's wrong with you?
But then, you know, she wakes up. She wakes us up now at, like, about 6 a.m. Like, hey, I got to go outside. I got to go pee. We're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And, like, she'll settle into a routine. But the problem is, like, you wake up at a different time than Nicole wakes up.
Right. So Nicole's alarm goes off. She takes her out and goes for a little walk. And then, like, Nicole has to go to work. And so the dog still has separation anxiety. So we, you know, if Nicole puts her in the crate, which is great, she starts whining and barking or whatever. And then I got to be like, you're fine. You're fine, dog. You're fine, Zoe.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's annoying.
But, you know, but that doesn't really work much. And then I'm just awake, you know?
Yeah.
I let her out and she just starts sprinting toward like our gate that we have, like on a side gate. And what she's done now, when she realized that people come in and out of that side gate, she started to wait there for Nicole to come home.
Wow.
And she started stacking toys on top of each other at the gate.
That's awesome.
Like,
that is awesome.
Yeah.
The dog is so cool.
This is me 2 weeks into dog ownership.
Yeah,
it's slowly figuring it out.
It's very entertaining. It's very entertaining for me because Anthony's a head case, and so to watch you have to like have something out of your control, it's so great for me.
And we went to our 1 year anniversary dinner on Sunday. Went to a great restaurant in Beverly Hills. Came back, and the dog had figured out how to open her crate.
Yeah, how did that happen?
I have no idea. Still, no clue whatsoever. Figured out how to open her crate. And got out, and she didn't terrorize anything. The house was so not dog proof at that time. She could have, the doors were open everywhere. There were little things, cords around. She could have gone everywhere. She found the bag of treats on top of the table.
Hell yeah.
And massacred
it.
Massacred the bag of treats. And that was it. And then she went and laid in our bed until we got home.
See, now that we each own a dog. This is good. We can share these things. My dog, we haven't been there in a little while, but we used to go to these agility classes on South Broadway at the Denver Paw School. Anybody mm-hmm. who wants to go, they're very cool. They kind of like, you go in for like an interview so they can like get to know your dog a little bit before you start
sure.
the class. And they were like, well, what is she like? And I was like, food. And they were like, so she doesn't like play with toys. She doesn't really, and I'm like, food. Like she did like a tug of war, anything on food. Like the only thing about my dog, they're like, so she's food motivated. Yes, my dog will do nothing if there is even the slightest chance she's gonna get fed something by somebody. Like if she can sniff that you have at one time had a peanut butter sandwich in your hand, she'll just like follow you around.
Zoe doesn't like peanut butter. It's weird.
Really?
At all.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
Maybe she'll learn, but yeah, she doesn't like it now.
But that's the thing. Like, I figured, like, oh, like when she settles in, she'll play with toys, whatever. So, like, we went first week. I got her. Went to a pet store, bought her like a, you know, like a cute squeaky dragon and like a something else. And, although I did have a vet tell me it makes sense that she doesn't like squeaky toys because she's not a predator dog. She's a herding dog.
Right.
So that makes sense, I guess. But like, doesn't play with ropes. Doesn't play with ball. You know, I can't throw a tennis ball and ever go chase it. Like she's weird, but if there's food, she's you know
she just goes and makes friends with enemies that live near
exactly.
you.
Exactly, she just follows
or used
me.
To live near
like
you.
If there yeah. was if there was a band of murderous thugs who were gonna come into my house and just bludgeon me to death, if they came in with one piece of cheese, I'm screwed.
See, and she's been like territorial with us. So she like when she or someone's like walking
That's
behind
good.
Us on a walk, and she'll stop and be like. Girl.
You get around. You get around so I can keep my eyes on you.
Yeah. Keep walking, bud. Keep walking.
This is a dog podcast now.
Sorry, yes.
We're not talking about baseball at all anymore today. So, let's get started. Let's talk about things for Your My and Our Colorado Rockies, who have had a pretty fun last week of baseball. The Rockies will head into play tonight, a three-game series against the Washington Nationals, who have never won a playoff series. And will not be doing so this year.
I've heard.
The Nationals come to town to take on a Rockies team that has won 7 straight. The San Francisco Giants will be the host team for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And here, according to David, I'm sure I'm going to say his last name wrong, Vasseg of AM 570.
Vassy. I think it's Vassy.
Okay.
Vassy. Like it's like EY.
AM 570 LA Sports Radio said, quote, from what I understand, a couple of weeks ago, Madison Bumgarner saw the schedule and walked into Bruce Bochy's office and told him point blank, I want to pitch against the Dodgers.
Awesome.
So that tells you where Madison Bumgarner's head has been for the last few weeks. I said this, I was on a radio station yesterday and said this in an interview. You may hate the San Francisco Giants. You may hate Madison Bumgarner.
Yeah.
And Madison, like unless he's on your team, I don't think there's really any reason to like Madison Bumgarner. But you
That's
gotta
fair.
Love Madison Bumgarner right now. This is a team that hasn't been in it for quite some time, and Madison Bumgarner was like, I want to ruin that season.
I want to ruin their season.
I want to screw that team like, so bad.
I know I've never said a crossword about Madison Bumgarner.
Me neither.
I've definitely never said that he grew up practicing kissing on farm animals. I've never said that.
Never. We've never had a crossword about really any Giants player ever.
No.
This is a very pro Giants.
And the D-backs
podcast.
Love the D-backs.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I've never said.
I back, you back, we back, all back the D-backs.
I've never definitely called AJ Pollock desert trash before.
No, never. I didn't call them clown suit wearing assholes the other day at all.
No. No. Who would do that?
That's never happened on this show. So, as long as we're all in agreement about that, I think that's it's important to be clear on these things.
Yeah.
And we're longtime fans.
But like for a second, like let's talk about how cool that is.
Yeah. That really is.
The Giants and Dodgers are a rivalry, and that's why when everyone said, you know, basically this time last week when the Dodgers had the Padres, the D-backs, and the Giants left.
Yeah.
They're like, "Oh, well the Dodgers are going to walk in. They got nobody left on the schedule." It's like, "Well, okay, the Padres whatever. They won a game, good for them." D-backs ended
up. The Padres don't win that game. This is a tied series. It's a tied division race.
Like the D-backs, like they lost the first game. We thought they weren't trying, whatever. They came back and won the next two. The D-backs, we thought they had quit during the Rockies series, but clearly they had not. But I circled this series at the end. And like I work with a lot of ex-Dodgers and Dodger fans, obviously at Fox Sports, Eric Karros being one of them. And Eric Karros has had a very long, sordid relationship with the Rockies and Coors Field. All he does is talk about Coors Field whenever he does Rockies games, and he had a rough one back in June, if you remember correctly, on Fox.
By the way, it's a nice game on FS1 because I saw a big FS1 truck driving down 20th Street yesterday by Coors Field.
No, it was not. Ooh. We have a dark day today.
Sneak peek, breaking news, maybe this weekend.
Yeah. Actually, no. Not the schedule. It's Cubs, Cardinals, Red Sox, Yankees, and
Maybe it's like a Brewers. Maybe it's like a CU UCLA thing. Maybe they're on Pac-12 Network. I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, that would be. Yeah, probably right. Okay. Anyway, he circled this game on the schedule as well, saying like, listen, if it's a close race at all in that final week of the regular season, you got to throw it out the window because it doesn't matter what the Giants have done, doesn't matter what the Dodgers have done. The Giants and Dodgers, it's a rivalry series. So they're always going to have some kind of aggression toward each other.
And
there's always going to
be rivalry
be guys getting up to face the other team. Just like you said with Bumgarner, he wanted to be in this series because he wants to screw over the Dodgers because he hates them.
Yep.
He hates them. And Puig hates the Giants. And all those guys hate the Giants. And you have to love that, which is why I think, honestly, the Giants-Dodgers is better than Red Sox-Yankees in terms of a rivalry.
Yeah, I agree with that.
My opinion.
I agree with that.
People don't give that enough credit. The Giants and Dodgers fucking hate each other.
And it's still a fun it's a baseball-centric rivalry because it hasn't been blown up by the four-letter network for the last 20 years. Like, but it hasn't been, like, jammed down your throat at the 6 p.m. Sports Center every goddamn day.
And that's what I love about it, too, is that that's why it doesn't matter. People have been talking to me, like my friends have been, saying like, "Oh, well, the Giants have the Dodgers have the Giants. Like that's going to be so easy." I'm like, "Man, it's not. Like it's the Giants are 9-7 against the Dodgers this year. The Giants have won or the Dodgers have won one series at AT&T Park in the last 3 years. Like, listen, it's a rivalry for a reason. Like it doesn't matter. It's like an any given Sunday kind of thing. It's like, yeah, the Dodgers have a better team than the Giants. They absolutely do. But it's not about 162 anymore. It's about 3.
Yep.
And a lot can happen in a 3-game series. Over the course of a 162-game season, the Dodgers are a way better team than the Giants. There's no argument there. Over the course of the next 3 games, it's a toss-up. I mean, this is the playoffs now. This is the playoffs.
There's only one October.
Right. Frank TV. but that's the beauty of what people think about sabermetrics and why it differs so vastly from regular season to playoffs. Billy Beane has said multiple times, "My shit doesn't work in the playoffs." That was his whole quote about Moneyball.
Yeah.
Why the A's could always have such a great team over 162 and never win a playoff series, say for 2006. That's the difference because, you can construct a great roster for 162 games using advanced metrics and whatever, and you could be a really good team at that point. But in a small sample size area like the playoffs, some of those things get lost in the shuffle. You can't really construct a great playoff team. Construct a great regular season team, for sure. Great playoff team, there's variance involved. There's luck involved. There's a great starting pitcher involved. The Giants, when 2014, they were in the wild card game, but they had Madison Bumgarner.
Yep.
And that's why they won the World Series.
Yep.
Like, they weren't the best team in the National League. They were, in fact, the fifth best team in the National League that year. But they won the World Series because they had Madison Bumgarner and a little bit of luck.
This is like, the Giants World Series this year.
Yes.
The Giants, by the way, are 9-7 against the Dodgers this season.
Yeah.
And the Dodgers have not won a series in San Francisco since 2014, 2015?
They won one in the last 3 years.
Which is pretty great.
Yeah.
The thing that I like most about it is not, like, the D-backs series, that's a manufactured, we hate this team. You know, I mean, it's like, yes, it's 55% Dodgers fans there. They're handing out the Beat LA signs. They're playing the three beats over the speakers of the, let's get the chant going of Beat LA. Like, that's all fine and good. And it ended up working. But it's not as though, if you're a D-backs player, I don't think you see the Dodgers uniform and it just, like, lights up the competitive fire inside you. If you're a Giants player, that's like an old school sports rivalry. That's like those two teams. There's no love lost. These two teams hate each other. Like, that's,
well, and like, literally,
true.
They have literally killed people in parking lots after games.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Like, it's
Yankees, Red Sox
thing.
Fans don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an ugly thing between those two teams. On the field, it's a beautiful thing. Off the field, it's been terrible. But it's the type of thing where, coming out of the weekend, you know, the Rockies end up going on the road and getting that sweep. And I tweeted this the other day. If you look at the way the schedule stacks up, and we were talking about this before we started recording, the Rockies get two teams that you have no history with. You have no type of, like, emotional angst about. They're both out of the playoff race. They only come to Coors Field once a year. One team may already just hate its manager and looked more checked out than a senior in high school who knows that he's going on to Denver Automotive and Diesel College and has no interest in doing anything else for the last 2 months of his senior year. Not to knock anybody who goes to DADC. I'm sorry, that sounded so arrogant. I didn't mean it that way.
Yeah, right. Jeez.
But, like, when you looked at that and then you thought, okay, the Dodgers are going on the road. And here's the thing about the Dodgers. Everybody in the National League West hates the Los Angeles Dodgers. And you saw it in that game that the Padres took in Los Angeles. I can't remember who it was who gave the quote after that game was over, but it was one of the Padres relievers who pitched in that game. And if I tap dance long enough, I might be able to get to a point where I can open up the team statistics all players page and then look through the list and see who it was. It wasn't Eric Lauer. It wasn't Joey Lucchese.
Kirby Yates.
It might have been Kirby Yates, actually. But said after the game, when they won that game, because it was, you know, there was a key situation, like the seventh inning of that game, Dodgers are threatening, they had the tying run on base, it's a sellout crowd, they're all going nuts, and the Padres got out of it. And he said in an interview after the game, like, that felt good, like, to come in here in front of a sellout crowd, we're not playing for anything, but be able to play spoiler, because it's against this team, that felt good. That's the way everybody in this division feels about the Dodgers, because they're so arrogant.
And it's been five years.
They haven't won a World Series, they made it last year, sure, but, like, they haven't won a World Series since 1988. They act like they're the New York Yankees. Like, everybody in this division hates the Los Angeles Dodgers. And the D-backs have as much of an inferiority complex when it comes to the Dodgers as any other dynamic in the division. And so for the D-backs to be able to come back in, and yeah, it did look tough on Monday because Goldie sat. I think AJ Pollock sat for that game as well.
It was Peralta, Souza, and Goldschmidt first game against Kershaw.
So, and you kind of think, like, oh, okay, well, maybe they are just deciding that the last week isn't really worth it. And then they come back and they win the next two. And that teams take pride in being able to screw the Los Angeles Dodgers. And if there is any team that wants that more than any other organization on the planet, it's the Giants. And that is personified by the fact that Madison Bumgarner requested to pitch tonight, pushing his start back in order to try to bone the Los Angeles Dodgers.
I've always loved Madison Bumgarner.
He's just, you know, he's such a,
unless he goes out and just, like, tosses, like, you know, just meatballs, you know,
which
then I'll hate that guy.
Yeah, I don't at all see that happening. Madison Bumgarner, in the most Madison Bumgarner moment in the history of the planet, hit a walk-off single in extra innings to give the Giants a victory the other night, and when somebody came out of the dugout with the Gatorade bucket to try to dunk it on him, he held the Gatorade bucket up in the air with his hand and just shook his head no. Like, I'm not participating in your bullshit. Get this away from me. the most Bumgarner thing I've ever seen.
This is great, by the way, too, because the Rockies are going to go into this game tonight knowing that if they do, well, if the knowing what the Cardinals have done, the Cardinals are playing right now against the Cubbies. So,
oh, weird. A Friday afternoon game.
As they almost always are at Wrigley Field. Yeah. So if the Cardinals do lose this game, the Rockies could go in knowing that a win would clinch them a playoff spot.
By the way, don't you think, and this is completely off topic, but don't you think in large part the reason the Chicago Cubs were so worthless for so long is that they didn't have lights until 1980, whatever. And so players were just going out playing day games and then living the lives of men in their 20s with a ton of money at night in Chicago.
Yeah.
You know?
That's probably why. Absolutely.
Anyway, thank God for Madison Bumgarner. The only time you'll ever hear us say that on this podcast, because tonight could be very fun. And the Rockies and are a magic number of one.
Oh, I'm like, oh, let's go Cubs. Let's go Cubs. Let's go Cubs. I can't do it. I'm sorry. I can't say it.
So tonight at 6:10 Mountain Time, your, my, and our Colorado Rockies go to the mound behind, as if this story could get any better, Freeland gets the start tonight with a chance to put his team on the brink of a division title for the first time in franchise history. The Rockies are in search of their 90th victory. They can still match the most wins in a season in franchise history if they sweep this weekend. They'll be going against Joe Ross, who has been actually decent. He missed 14 months with Tommy John surgery to Joe Ross. This will be his third and final start of 2018. He's only got
brother
of former Padre Tyson Ross. Joe Ross was a very highly touted prospect for a while. He's only pitched 11 innings. He's given up 6 runs, 5 of them earned with 3 strikeouts and 3 walks. But, you know, a guy coming back from Tommy John surgery, he's probably not going to have a very long leash innings-wise or pitch count-wise in his last start of the season. You would think the Nationals are probably okay to see him go out there, throw a few innings if he looks good and get him out of there.
I know the Nats are out of it, like just like the Phillies were. But, like, the Nationals are playing fairly decent baseball. You still have a lot of dudes on that team who are pretty good and also playing really well right now. Anthony Rendon's been arguably the best player in the game this month. He's hitting .366 with 6 homers, 25 ribbies. They have not faced Juan Soto. When they played the Nationals earlier in the season, it was April. He was not up yet, I believe. Bryce Harper still got a .950 OPS this month. Victor Robles is starting to play really well. So, like, the Nationals still have guys who are good. They're good baseball players.
Yeah, definitely. It's the return of Mark Reynolds.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so it's not like they were just playing the Phillies. And we're going to segue into that.
Yeah, this is not the Phillies.
The Phillies came in having just been eliminated the previous weekend by the Atlanta Braves. They were swept in that series by the Braves in a 4-game series. So they've been swept in consecutive 4-game series now, which is not how you want to do it.
Woof.
The Phillies were in first place on August 12th, by the way.
Yeah.
And now they're going to finish under .500 this season unless they sweep the final series of the season, and in that case they'll be 81-81.
They're 11 games back now.
Yeah, like they could literally be they could be caught by the Mets.
Good God, that is insane.
But that is just a testament to Gabe Kapler was coming in. He was kind of a you weren't sure what you were going to get with Gabe Kapler when he was given the Phillies job. And he was the director of player operations for the Dodgers the last few years. He was the key in the roster construction of what the Dodgers had put together over the last couple of seasons. You know, a lot of great winning tradition there. He did a great job, clearly. But he wanted a job at managing for a big league team, and he got it. So it was interesting to see how the season went with Gabe, because Gabe is a very, very analytically driven ex-Major League Baseball player. Like, I worked with Gabe for 2 years at Fox Sports 1 when he was an analyst for us on Whip Around and our World Series coverage. So I got to know Gabe pretty well. He's a very intense person. He is obviously very chiseled.
Say the least.
Gabe
Kapler is a man who once wrote a blog about how laying out in the sun with your testicles exposed was good because it gets them vitamin D, and that
benefits
increases
of tanning your
testosterone and
that's
something
Cap
about
lifestyle.
Tanning your balls.
Yep. And that is Gabe. And Gabe was a very, very nice human being. He wasn't a mean guy. He was very, very intense. Like, he was very incapable of having a meaningless conversation. So to see him in charge of a team like that, because, you know, sabermetrics is different when it comes to constructing a roster, when it comes to making in-game decisions. And early in the season, he made some questionable calls and got ripped for it.
Yeah.
But then the Phillies started playing really, really well.
He threw a position player in like the first homestand of the season, right?
Yes. And he, like, you know, on opening day, he pulled Aaron Nola after like 68 pitches and they lost that game. It was like, what the hell are you doing? So, but he made adjustments and the Phillies played really, really well, probably a little bit over their heads for a few months. But like I said, they were in first place on August 12th. I don't think anybody expected the Phillies to be doing that well in Gabe Kapler's first season. Now, Gabe has been known from stories that I have heard in the halls of Fox Sports 1 as the Cubs take the lead on the Cardinals right now, by the way.
Yes.
Anyway, that he was known to, in the Dodgers clubhouse, to try to get his guys on a full health regimen. I mean, you know, minor league baseball players and how they just eat whatever's there, and they eat usually crap. It's crappy Kraft sandwiches, it's candy, it's whatever. You know, but like some guys, they have different methods of getting ready for a game. Some guys take energy drinks, some guys eat candy, some whatever. So usually stuff that's bad for you. But Gabe would replace all of that with health food. And that's just one of the things that he did. It rubbed a lot of guys the wrong way, especially veterans. Yeah. It rubbed veterans the wrong way, especially.
Yeah.
So being with a guy like that for a full season can wear on you. And it sure looks like Gabe Kapler has worn down the Phillies team. And there are some veterans on that team. Jake Arrieta, Carlos Santana. Like, it's a fairly young team, but there are guys who have been around the block a little while and don't think they would take that kindly to being treated like toddlers.
Yeah.
And that's what Gabe comes across as sometimes, even if it's not intended. He comes across as condescending and like he knows more than anybody else in the room.
Right.
Whether he does or not, it's a bad look for a manager to play like that. And judging by how the Phillies played in that series against the Rockies, they did not put up much of a fight.
No, they did not. The way the Phillies looked, Gabe Kapler seems like he would be a tremendous SEC football coach. Because he has this cutting edge mentality of being able to understand advanced stats and understand how to play the numbers and be a little bit ahead of the curve in the way he evaluates how to manage a game. But that militant, dictatorial style, that doesn't work with professional athletes. It might work at the minor league level, which is why he's a director of player development. I think he had some good results.
And also he managed the GCL Rays for a year.
Yeah.
You know, so he like for a team like that, if you run it like an army regimen, you're going to be all right and people will listen to you, especially as an ex-big league player.
Exactly. Those are guys just coming out of high school and college. They're still used to kind of that heavy-handed mode of leadership. But when you're a professional athlete, like if you make it to the major league level, you're over it. You're making infinitely more money than your manager is. Like you're the ones out there doing the job. That stuff grates on you pretty easily and pretty quickly too. And it just looked this week like when the Phillies were down 14-0 on Wednesday, that didn't look like a team that gave a shit. It didn't look like a team that was out there furious that they were getting their brows beaten in for the third straight night of an eventual 4-game sweep and 8-game losing streak.
39-7 in that series.
39-7. And only seven. It would have been 39-5 had Carlos Santana not gone out against Adam Ottavino in the eighth inning yesterday. Yeah. That team, like that franchise should be embarrassed about that series. And it does not suggest a pleasant future. And maybe this is all projecting too much into that series. But knowing what we know about Gabe Kapler, because what you have heard, obviously being a coworker with him, I've heard our dealings with him from MILB.com over the last few seasons before he took this job with the Phillies. Not overly pleasant from what, and not in the same context, not that he was just an outright jerk, but that he came across in a very off-putting way, wasn't super accessible for our writers. And, you know, on the one hand, I guess I understand, you know, you're somebody with major league managerial aspirations and that's fine. But to be accessible as a director of player development and to be talking up your players and to be, you know, pleasant and somebody who is easy to engage, it's not that difficult.
Like I said, small talk is not Gabe Kapler's forte.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. But even like we're the official side of minor league baseball. We're not out there writing hit pieces. You know, right. Like we're trying to blow up everybody's team and make everybody look good and talk about the best seasons among players and who's going to have good seasons coming forward and whatever. Like we're not out here doing gotcha journalism.
Right.
And from what I know, not a super helpful dude in that regard. And so it just seemed like when that hire was announced, it was like, this is going to go one of two ways. This is either going to be the Phillies are going to take off immediately. They're going to win 95 games, run away with a division. Leica is saying hello to Zoe, by the way, by shaking her collar. That's the way.
Zoe was just moving around in her crate as well. By the way, it's 2-0 Cubs now.
Yes.
Remember, if the Cardinals lose this game, the Rockies can clinch a playoff berth with a win tonight.
Yeah,
keep that in mind. I know it doesn't make any sense. You're listening to this way after this game is over, but it does not matter.
You get to join us for our emotional roller coaster.
Yeah.
But it just seemed like it was going to go either that way, everything would go well for the Phillies, or it was going to go the other way, and things were going to go horribly for the Phillies. And if I'm looking at the 2019 Phillies,
really,
beyond,
it's been half and half.
Yeah. But the fact that the second half is a team that looks like it has checked out and has completely dissociated itself from its manager, that does not bode well for 2019.
Ew.
Especially with a young team, because if you've got veterans right now in that clubhouse that are not setting a tone of like, hey, yeah, he's an abrasive personality, but this is our guy and we got to stick with it. If you've got a team full of 22 to 26 year old players who are now learning that it's okay to go into Coors Field and get your head smashed in for a 4-game series in September, I don't know. If I'm a Phillies fan, I'm concerned about what the future looks like for this team. So we just wanted to touch on that because it was funny because yesterday I tweeted something about how I don't think I'd ever seen a team as checked out as the Phillies, and the Dodgers Reddit Twitter account retweeted that, and we got into a conversation about it, and they said basically the same thing. Like, I was excited for Gabe to get a chance as a manager, but I wonder if he hasn't already pushed this team over the edge in the wrong way. And that seems to be the conventional wisdom on him, which is, yeah, this could have gone very well, but it looks like it's playing out worst case scenario. And Dodgers fans were furious because it looked like the Phillies just came in and rolled over. Here's the thing about the Phillies and the Dodgers now in the month of September. The Phillies are now 6-19 in the month of September. But that means the Phillies went into their series with actually one more win this month than the Arizona Diamondbacks went into their last series. And the Diamondbacks took 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers. So I don't know if you can really say, oh, this is a team that's just rolling over in September.
No, and
the D-backs were doing that, too. They ended up beating your team 2 out of 3.
Oh, and honestly, like all the Dodgers fans just bitching about the Phillies and whatever, the Rockies, quote-unquote, easy schedule to end the season. Hey, man, the Dodgers went 3-10 against the last-place Reds and Marlins.
Yeah. If you start off a season by losing 7 in a row against the Reds.
Like, listen, like I have no sympathy for you. If you guys would have figured out like how to beat last-place teams, then you wouldn't be in this position.
Yep.
You're also 7-9 against the Giants.
Yeah.
Sorry. I don't have sympathy for you.
What is tremendous is that the Los Angeles Dodgers, after 5 straight division titles, after going to Game 7 of the World Series last year, after trading for Manny Machado, Matt Kemp's selfie at second base at the All-Star game, Brian Dozier, last year picking up Yu Darvish, all these things, the Los Angeles Dodgers could miss the playoffs this weekend entirely.
It's incredible. They could literally miss the playoffs.
Go into this weekend with a 1-game lead in the wild card over the St. Louis Cardinals. So if the Dodgers go out and get swept and the Cardinals are able to grab 2 out of 3 in Chicago, guess what, folks? Folks, it's an all National League Central, National League wild card game, and the Los Angeles Dodgers, after trading for Manny Machado, after this is the best team in baseball because of their acquisitions, after all the takes, the Dodgers would end up missing the playoffs after 5 straight division titles and going to Game 7 of the World Series last year.
And also, like, you know, Manny Machado, he wants $300 million.
Yeah. Has he looked like a dude who deserves $300 million?
Good luck with that, buddy.
Right?
Manny Machado is a great player. He's a nice player. He is incredibly overrated, in my opinion.
He's
got a career 821 OPS.
Yeah.
And he played almost all of his career in Baltimore.
Yeah.
821. That's it.
Yeah, not as though you're playing in San Diego.
No, everyone remembers like, oh, he made some great – he's a wonderful defender. Yeah, at third base. You seen him play shortstop? Yeah. He's a butcher.
Yeah. Because he's
he had a great first half of the season with Baltimore. It was his best start to a season he's ever had. His slash line with the Dodgers,
yep.
267, 333, 486, and 819 OPS. Pretty much his entire career slash line is what he's done with the Dodgers.
That OPS is
that's who he is.
It's
that's
almost
who
150
he is.
Points lower than his first half of the season with the Orioles.
He is
more
not
than first half.
He's not the guy he was in the first part of the season. That was a nice small sample size kind of thing. He's not that guy.
96 games.
He's a 282, 335, 487 hitter.
Yeah.
96
games.
Good luck.
To start the season with the Orioles, 315, 387, 575, 963 OPS, 819 the OPS with the Dodgers. His OPS plus with the Orioles, 164 for the first 96 games, 120 for the next 62.
Like he's a nice player.
Yeah.
He is not a superstar.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe that's a conversation that is best saved for, you know, a couple months from now. But you wonder how that impacts Nolan Arenado's potential free agency down the road. And hopefully it never gets to that stage. Hopefully the Rockies are on the verge of announcing something this offseason with Nolan anyway. But if Nolan Arenado is looking at Manny Machado right now and thinking, oh, that's probably my best comp, a third baseman in his prime who's done terrific things, you know, a multiple-time Gold Glove winner, a four-time All-Star, how much money is he going to get? If I'm a team going into free agency this offseason and Manny Machado is out there asking for $350 million, get the hell out of here.
Like, Bryce Harper's not going to get that money either, you know? Like, Bryce Harper will get it more than Manny Machado.
I don't know how to handle... Happiness.
Yeah,
positivity.
We know why we haven't been able to handle it because we haven't talked about the Rockies for like 40 minutes.
That's the thing.
Because,
like, we're dancing around.
I don't think we don't know how to deal with it. Well, we don't know what to say. Like, hey, man, they've been great.
Yeah.
Seven in a row.
Yeah.
Like,
they
can win the NL West.
We haven't even talked about the team that we host this show to talk about.
Marquez literally tied a major league record striking out the first eight batters he faced. Only two other pitchers have ever done that in the modern era.
Yeah. Yeah. One of them, Jacob DeGrom. Poor Jacob DeGrom.
He's struck out 11 batters or more, in five of his last six starts? He set the record for most strikeouts in a season for a pitcher?
Yeah.
A Rockies pitcher? Like, what do we do with that? Yeah, five of his last six starts, 11 strikeouts or more. Are you shitting me?
Yeah.
I started to strike out 61 good. Batters in 41 and two thirds. He's only walked six in that time. 61-6 over his last six starts.
Good God almighty. He's pretty good. He's pretty good.
Like, and oh, by the way, Kyle Freeland has been one of the best pitchers in baseball all year. And like you said, a chance to send his hometown team to the playoffs or to the brink of their first NL West title. The team he grew up with season tickets going to see.
This is amazing.
And oh, by the way, John Gray looked pretty good on Monday,
yeah!
by the way.
That's the other thing. I was talking about that in a radio.
John Gray looks like he found his slider again.
When you look at this team, you think, oh, Kyle Freeland, Cy Young contender. Ryan Freemeyer's point the last few weeks has been Kyle Freeland may not even be the best starter on this team wire to wire this season. That might be Marquez. And
Wire to wire, I would say no, but second half, absolutely. Yeah. Marquez did not start the season very well at all.
True, that's true.
There's a reason he had a five going into, you know, five and a half going into late June, you know.
But this team, they may have two aces at the moment, and on top of all that, they may be rediscovering a guy who can be that way in John Gray. I mean, if John Gray pitches like he did on Monday, and you're throwing him out there in game two or game three of a playoff series, I think you feel pretty damn good about where you are.
That's the thing. If the Rockies can somehow get to a playoff series, I think they're a terrifying team for whoever they're going to be.
Me too. Especially in that first round.
One game, I have no idea.
Exactly.
If it's one
That's
game,
a coin flip.
Yeah, one game, if it's on the road, you got to start Marquez.
Yeah.
And it would be his time in the rotation. He would be on normal rest, and that's fine. Like, if it's at home, Freeland would be starting on short rest, and that's a tough ask.
Yeah.
I think you start Marquez no matter what if it's a wild card game. But
what would be great if the Rockies went out tonight and got like a 12-0 lead by the third.
Right.
And you could just pull Kyle Freeland early and let him go
around
having thrown 40-some pitches.
I think they would get him. I think Bud would want to get him through five, get him the win, quote unquote, whatever. And then I think they'd pull him if that is the case. And that's best case scenario, of course.
So how do we even begin to discuss what the Rockies have done, since we're now 45 minutes into the show and we're just now getting into the team that we host the show about? Your, my, and our Colorado Rockies, coming off of a sweep of the Arizona Diamondbacks. This was the story from the Associated Press yesterday. Quote, after getting swept in Los Angeles, Colorado dropped 2.5 games behind the Dodgers and had an off day before 3 games in Arizona. The Rockies held a team meeting. Remember early on this season, they were struggling. We were like, oh, should they hold a team meeting? Well, apparently they did that.
Team meetings always work, except when they don't.
Always, except when they don't. Quote, you've got two options. You can sit at your locker and cry about it, or you can flush it out and show up the next day, continue to win games, outfielder Carlos Gonzalez recalled. David Dahl homered for the 4th straight game, and the Rockies opened a 1-game National League West lead with a 5-3 victory over the Philadelphia Phillies on Thursday that extended their winning streak to 7. Trevor Story and Gerardo Parra also went deep for the Rockies, who matched their longest winning streak this season. Dahl hit a run-scoring triple and finished the 4-game sweep with 8 hits and 11 RBI.
Just saying, it's only since Rookie came back from his month-long training.
Exactly.
His adorable golden retriever dog was away for a month. And I don't know how you send a dog away for a month to train, but whatever.
Every single game.
He's homered in every game since rookie turned.
And don't discount it. Don't think that this is just some cutesy, oh, yeah, he's cute on Instagram, and so now he's back, and he homered in all 4. If you saw your dog for the first time in a month, and you went out and hit a homer in that first game, you think, I never want to stop. And then you hit homers in the next 3.
Did you see Rookie meeting Jacqueline K. Davis again, David Bell's fiance?
It was so awesome.
He didn't know what to do. He was so excited.
So excited. His little butt was wiggling all over the place. So cute. So Rookie is the MVP of the 2018 Rockies, is what we're saying.
I think that's what we're saying.
But the Rockies hold the team meeting, go out, sweep Arizona, come home, sweep Philly. Now you get the Nationals in town. And you get the Nationals in town on the strength of a couple of series in which your offense has looked like a Colorado Rockies offense. That might be the most encouraging thing. The starting pitching all season, this is bizarre to even say about the Rockies, but I don't think you really worry about the starting pitching. Like, you pretty much, for the most part, know you're going to get a good nod from your starters night in and night out.
That's you just know they were going to hit. Like,
you just knew this team was going to hit. But really, I mean, over the last couple of weeks, the Rockies have looked like a team, well, with the exception of the series in Los Angeles, the Rockies have looked like a team that can't, oh, and the series in San Francisco, the Rockies at home have looked like a team that knows it can win all of its games. The Rockies have lost 1 home game since September 10th. They took 3 out of 4 from Arizona, and now they've come home and taken the first 4 against the Phillies. That was after dropping that series against the Dodgers, but that was on the heels of a 3-game sweep of the Giants. So this is a team that has looked at Coors Field the way traditionally we're used to the Rockies looking at Coors Field. That's what would frighten me if I'm the Washington Nationals coming to town.
I mean, the last 15 games, Rockies starting pitchers have a 2.7 ERA. This team leads the National League in quality starts. Only the Astros and Indians have more than the Colorado Rockies.
That is amazing.
That's the best their starting pitching has ever been in their entire franchise history. And if it took until the last week of September for their offense to finally come through, so be it. If it's going to take them their first ever division title, better late than never, I guess is what we can say.
Oh, they've won 7 in a row, man. They've won 10 of their last 15.
Seven in a row in every game they had to win.
Had to win. I mean, this is like 2007 compressed into the final 10 days of the season rather than the final two.
And that's the biggest difference. Like, even in 07, they needed help.
Yeah, exactly.
Last year, they needed help. They didn't clinch on their own. They clinched because I think the Cardinals beat the Brewers on the second to last day of the season. So the Rockies went into that game knowing they had already clinched with the Dodgers and Clayton Kershaw on the mound. And so they just came and went and swung at everything and got the game over quickly and then ended up partying. But this is really one of the first times they have had a chance to really do it themselves and not need anybody's help.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm fascinated to see how they come out today, especially if the Cardinals lose this afternoon game and they know that they are going to be a win would get them into the playoffs.
If the Rockies, this is too big of a declaration, but yesterday felt like it almost clinched the division for the Rockies, because there, in my mind, is no way that the Giants go into San Francisco and sweep that series. And if the Giants don't do that, if they only win 2 out of 3, That means the Rockies have to get swept at home by the Washington Nationals on the final weekend of the season at Coors Field, already riding a 7-game winning streak, with the potential first division title in 25 years of franchise history hanging in the balance. The Rockies would have to get swept at home by a weak Washington Nationals team that's not going to the postseason.
They've already got their tee time set up for Monday.
Yeah, that has already seen that Bryce Harper's last year potentially in Washington is not going to end with the first postseason series win in franchise history. It's not going to end with a World Series parade. This is a team that I don't think has quit on the season, you know, quite like the Phillies looked this week. But I don't, you're not terrified of the Nationals coming to town. If the D-backs were coming to town this weekend and they were throwing, you know, Granke and Corbin, whoever, I think you're a little bit apprehensive about what this weekend looks like. Nationals are a good team, but I don't think they terrify you. But it would take the Rockies getting swept by the Washington Nationals and the Dodgers sweeping the San Francisco Giants in order for the Rockies to outright lose this division this weekend.
And is that possible? Yes.
It's possible.
Like, I mean, we're not going to say that, like, oh, no, they've already got swept up. No, absolutely, absolutely do not.
But is it likely? No.
This is the time that the Rockies can actually control their own destiny and get to the playoffs on their own damn merits. In 2009, they did that for the most part because they were the best team in baseball from the time they hired Jim Tracy on.
Yeah.
This is the year they can really just stomp the foot onto a lot of people who think that they're just a Coors Field creation, they're just whatever. They can do so many things right now that can put so much goodwill for the fans and the front office and the rest of the team, because I guarantee no one's going to want to face this Rockies team in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Teams who have faced the Rockies in the second half and seen Kyle Freeland and seen Herman Marquez, they know that those two guys are capital D dudes.
Yep.
They are scared of those guys. And they know Trevor Story. They know Nolan Arenado. They know guys like Carlos Gonzalez has the reputation. In a short series, in any series, I think the Rockies are a terrifying team for NL clubs right now.
Yeah.
The Braves know, because right now it would be the Braves and Rockies in the first round. The Rockies went into Atlanta last month and swept a first-place Braves team in a 4-game series. They know how dangerous the Rockies
can be. They never won a 4-game series in Atlanta before, and the Rockies swept a 4-game series in Atlanta.
Yep.
They had never won one there before.
That is why, like, the Braves know exactly what the Rockies can do.
And that means, by the way, that the Rockies hold the tiebreaker over the Braves. If the Rockies were to finish with the same record as the Atlanta Braves, the Rockies get the 2 seed in the National
League. Right.
Because nobody's going to catch the Cubs or Brewers. Whoever wins the Central gets the number 1 seed going into the playoffs. They get home field advantage throughout the playoffs. If the Rockies and Braves, who both enter tonight at 89-70, if they were both to finish the season, say, at 91-71, guess what? The Rockies, A, win the division, and B, will host the Atlanta Braves for games 1 and 2 of the National League Division Series. Can you believe that? Like, this time last week, we had funeral music and
it was
a comedian
a moratorium.
And SBDP. And now we're like, oh, they could be the 2 seed and win the division. What? What?
Like, there was literally a chance at some point yesterday that the Rockies could either be the top seed in the National League, the wild card, or out of the playoffs.
Baseball's so weird. It's so weird, and I love it so much.
But like this is your chance to take care of business against a team that's out of it and clinch on your home field, which is even the best part.
That's the
clinch on your home field.
That is really the coolest part. What would be neatest? Rockies win tonight, Dodgers lose tonight, and then the Rockies with a win tomorrow would clinch the National League West. And then you get
to
celebrate. Then you're not watching a game that's in the Pacific time zone, waiting around to celebrate in the clubhouse. Then you get to dogpile on the field. You get to do your thing.
They've always clinched at home, too, if I remember correctly. 95, they did. 07, they did, obviously, 163. 09, they did Franklin Morales, right?
Yep.
And then last year, they did, you know, they were at home when the Brewers lost that game.
They were in the clubhouse in the afternoon, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is we've never seen this. This is unprecedented in franchise history. The Rockies could clinch a division title. It's not fully unprecedented. The Rockies could have done it in 95 had they gotten help.
Right.
But this is, you know, we've never seen the Rockies in full control of their own destiny going into the final weekend of a season. I was talking about this with Corey Little, one of the Rockies media relations guys, a couple of weeks ago at Coors Field, and we both said, like, yeah, this is going to come down to the last weekend because it always comes down to the last weekend with the Rockies.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody expected. I think if you expected anything, you figure the Rockies go into this weekend a game back or tied with the Dodgers.
Hopefully looking for the wild card.
But with that win yesterday, you put the magic number at 3. If the Rockies win tonight and the Dodgers lose tonight against Madison Bumgarner, there's no way in the final 4 results combined between the Rockies 2 games against the Nationals and the Dodgers 2 games against the Giants, there's no way of those 4 games, one of them doesn't go the Rockies' way.
There's, you can't
say
that.
It's a possibility. It's a possibility, but I just don't see with this team right now, with the way they've played and who they've got coming up in the rotation, I don't see any way that this goes against the Rockies if they win tonight and the Dodgers lose tonight.
It would really give the Dodgers the ass, which is great.
So great.
Because if the Rockies win tonight and the Dodgers lose, the Dodgers are terrified. Yeah. Like they're in a position they have not been in for 6 years.
Exactly. And that's the thing. And this is something you've brought up a couple of times that we have discussed a little bit, but not really at length. Is Dave Roberts safe? If the Dodgers lose the playoffs,
I think
Dave Roberts is gone.
I think he is too. If they miss the playoffs, he's gone.
If they go into San Francisco and just lay an egg and get swept and miss the playoffs.
He's gone. Like he has a club option for next year. And it would be a tough sell from a PR standpoint to be like, Dave Roberts isn't the guy considering what he's done there.
Yeah.
But
hey, they've done it before. They've done it before with successful managers.
Yep. Yep. Grady Little, Joe Torre. Like, I mean, no, it's it's we don't know how the Dodgers are going to react to being in a tight race this late in the season because it hasn't been. They've won the NL West fairly handily. Each of the last 5 years, fairly handily.
And
sometimes very handily.
This is what you get when you are the team that has pushed everybody around and you're the arrogant group. You're the group that everybody in the division loves to hate. This is what you get. You get Kirby Yates saying, yeah, we wanted to shut those fans up. You get
Madison Bumgarner pushing his start back 2 weeks in advance.
Asking to start 2 weeks in advance, asking to start on the final weekend of the season. And say what you will about Giants fans and about the complex of you won 3 World Series in 5 years and somehow you still act like the world is stacked against you. Giants fans are going to show out for that series.
Oh, my God.
Because that's a great fan base. They turn out basically no matter what. And the fact that the Dodgers are coming to town, you're not going to the playoffs, this is your World Series.
Yep.
That, man, I wouldn't want to go into that series.
And so many times, too, we did this on Whip Around yesterday. So many times the series has come down to the last week of the regular season, and one of those teams has eliminated the other.
Yeah.
Even when there's nothing to play for.
They were talking about this on MLB Network the other day, too. The amount of different times throughout franchise history that it's come down to those two, and the team that is completely out of it, has nothing to play for, just goes out and curb stomps the other team.
Yeah. Like, you know, in 93, Mike Piazza hit 2 home runs on the season.
Yep.
And they won 12-1. The Giants won 103 games that year and didn't make the playoffs. And that was why the wild card was instituted for the most part the next year.
Amazing. This is fun, man. This is fun. Yeah. The Rockies will go with Kyle Freeland tonight. They will have John Gray going to them coming up tomorrow for the middle game of this 3-game series against a really promising young starter in the Nationals organization, TBD. And then on Sunday, nobody is announced.
I've been following TBD for a long time.
I was on the TBD bandwagon superstar right out of the gate, man. Yeah. I'm a big TBD guy. This is fun.
Let's do some SPDPs.
I think we've talked
about it. It's already been an hour.
We did 45 minutes on every other team, and we've barely squeaked out 15 minutes about the Rockies because we're so scared and don't know how to handle success. Seems good. Seems good.
Yeah.
Let's do some SPDPs.
From Ad Bishop KM, friend Kyle Bishop, how's it going?
Well, actually, Kyle, it's good. It's very good.
All right. from Matt Patston, at Matt Patston, if time travel were possible, would Pedro Astacio crack the Rockies' current starting rotation? I personally say yes, because besides Antonio Senzatella, Pedro Astacio had some of the biggest balls in the history of this organization. He pitched at Coors Field, pre-Humidor. Oh, my God. He had some stones, and he had some great seasons, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he does. I think he goes to the back end of your rotation. But I think now it depends on which Pedro Astacio we're talking about time travel-wise, because if we're discussing the first version of Pedro Astacio to come over to the Rockies, then does if you're getting a young guy in, Pedro Osacio, when he was traded to the Rockies, was 28, which I guess in relation to this organization and its pitching staff, it wouldn't make him a young guy. But if you're talking like 2000 Pedro Osacio, who was 31 years old, I think he's probably your number three, number four. But the infectious ability of being a veteran who's been through the battles at pre-Humidor Coors Field, what that would have, the effect that would have on this rotation, I would like that addition. Trade for 2000 Pedro Osacio is what I'm saying.
Sure. Why not?
Okay, good. I should probably pull up the SPDP.
Do you have one? All right, I'll get to another. From Ryan Bloom at Bloomer Deluxe. How hard would you laugh if the Giants sent Bumgarner back out on Sunday on short rest? Like say Sunday, the Dodgers like need to win to make the
Rockies
playoffs.
Have lost the first
and
two.
And the Giants have like a 2-1 lead with two men on in the eighth, and they send out Madison Bumgarner out of the bullpen to face like Max Muncy.
You know what's crazy is like that's not that outlandish. Like Madison Bumgarner,
you think
is the type
he wouldn't
guy,
do it too? You know, like come
he
on,
would do it in a heartbeat. I don't know if the Bruce Bochy would do it, but well,
sure,
Bumgarner
but like,
would be chomping at the bit to do that.
Oh God, how funny would that be?
That would be amazing.
Ugh.
Hang on. I'm almost.
I got another one from pal Andy. I haven't heard from Andy in a while. From at Annie Kalea. Silly question. How much alcohol or Pepto have you consumed during this stretch of games? Serious question. How far do you think we'll realistically go in the playoffs this year?
I mean, that's the thing. In a short series, especially a best of five division series, no team feels comfortable matching up against Ramon Marquez, Kyle Freeland, John Gray, whoever else goes out there through the first few games.
And with the Rockies back in the bullpen, Scott Oberg has been a steadying force. Yeah. In that bullpen,
Adam Ottavino's been a little shaky, which makes you
he has
somewhat
been lately.
Wary.
But Wade Davis has allowed one run in the last 6 weeks. By the way, if no one's noticed that, he's allowed one run in 6 weeks.
The thing that does worry you maybe a little bit is the fact that the Atlanta Braves, they've got a very good starting pitching staff as well. Julio Teheran is terrific. Mike Foldynewicz has been terrific. Sean Newcomb was very good. Anibal Sanchez made 23 starts for that team this year and had an ERA under 3. But even their young guys have been really good. Tuki Toussaint, Mike Soroka, Max Fried, the amount of pitchers that team has and can go to in its starting rotation this season has been pretty impressive. The Braves, I think, have started 4 pitchers who were 20 years old, and no other team in the National League had started a single one. So that makes it a really interesting matchup.
Right. And the Rockies are the one team in the league this year to not start a pitcher under or over 30.
Yeah.
The one team to do that. So like they're a lot of similar in a lot of ways. That's amazing. But consuming alcohol during these games? Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, come on. What sucks for me is that the Rockies do make the division series.
Yeah.
Fox has the National League this year for the playoffs, and so I will have to be working through all those games. And it's not as fun.
Hopefully they make the World Series, and you can be here.
If they make the World Series, I'll be in Denver, which will be wonderful.
In person.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's one that I actually told listener Chris J. Finley that we would discuss. Quote, how do statistics take into account a technically infinite ERA, i.e. giving up an earned run or more without recording an out before leaving the game? I don't know. That's happened for somebody's career.
Yeah.
I don't know what you would do as far as the career statistics go. But, sometimes you'll see a guy come in and his ERA is listed as **.** because he gave up runs without recording an
out.
Didn't
record an out, yeah.
But keep in mind, that has to be the first outing of a season. And the next time a dude goes out, if he records an out, then the ERA becomes not infinite, obviously. So it's rare that it happens, but it does happen. It's just weird.
Yeah, I think it's one of those weird things that it's so rare that if it would happen and that would just be the end of the dude's career.
Yeah,
that
I feel like
it doesn't come up much, I guess.
It probably only happened to position players.
Well, and I bet it sucks for fantasy baseball playoffs. Yeah, like that's happened to me before. Like where a guy comes in and like just gets blown up and doesn't pitch again or whatever.
Yeah, that's true. So. From Elliot Goldbaum at EL Goldbaum. What's stopping Ryan McMahon from starting against right-handed pitchers?
Bud Black.
Yeah, I would say so too.
Next question.
at this stage of the year, you got 3 games left.
It's not going to change.
It's not going to change. Yeah. Whatever. I've been outraged about a lot of things this season in terms of lineup construction, and Warren Miller ratted me out to Bud Black the other day in the dugout about that. but it's fine. At this stage, they've won 7 straight. Is Ian Desmond coming through in big spots? No, but whatever. Like, they don't. Yeah, don't
at this point, like, it's going to be happening throughout the playoffs too.
Yeah.
Ryan will be there on the roster in the postseason if they make it for late inning, you know, pinch hits. He's been good in that situation. Yeah. At this point, it's not something we can keep complaining about because it is what it is.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, from Zach Wengrovius, one of our good pals, is a Devil's Triangle a simple drinking game played with quarters, and is boofing a cute term for farts? Please discuss in great detail. That is a Brett Kavanaugh leading question.
Yeah.
What would the Rockies Devil's Triangle be?
Man, that's a terrifying question with many additional.
It's only funny because, you know, because America's going to hell.
Yeah, no, it's great that the worst of American society was on display yesterday, which has become like a daily thing in the United States and
all the time
in 2018. That's great. Boofing though, I follow an Australian cattle dog named Boof, who lives in Perth in Western Australia.
There was an old Twins pitcher named Boof Bonzer.
Yeah, I remember Boof Bonzer. Yeah. Boof. B-O-O-F in Australia is pronounced boof, and there's like a term for like an idiot that you call a boofhead.
Sure.
So I'm gonna go that route, and I remember shortly before the 2016 election sending a text to my best friend and saying, you know what I can't wait most for about this election is that after November 2nd, we'll never have to hear about these fucking people again, like Eric Trump and Donald Trump Jr. and Ivanka Trump and whatever. And then I woke up on November 3rd in a waking nightmare that has not ceased for the last 2 years. My hope is that 2 years later, Brett Kavanaugh is the same way. And eventually, I'm never going to have to say that fucking clown's name ever again. That's my hope.
Yep. That'd be great. Yeah, that's I feel like the last 2 years have like aged America like a president, which is ironic.
Oh, yeah. But, if you look at me now compared to in 2016, I look as though I've served 9 tours of duty, strictly serving on D-Day.
It's like Groundhog Day.
From our good pal Ryan Bloom at Bloomer Deluxe. Quote, if we, heaven forbid, get swept by the Nationals and lose the division wild card by one game each, have we made progress over last year where we got a wild card but lost the division by 17? And I had to look that up just to make sure. They really did lose by 17.
Well, the Dodgers won 104 games last year.
104 games last year for the Dodgers. No other team in the National League won more than 97.
Yeah.
But do you consider that progress? The Rockies last year finished 87-75. They've already blown by that record. Do you consider that progress if they win?
God, that's a great question.
Season and lose the playoffs.
You gotta say no because of where they are right now. But you look at it from a macro sense. Hey, they won more games than they did last year. Like, I think before the season, I think I predicted they would win about 86, 87 games again. I think I was not as bullish on the team as I probably should have been, but I didn't see Freeland making this next step, Marquez making this next step, as big a steps as they have made.
Yeah.
I was, you know, considering they never made the playoffs in back-to-back years, I, entering the season, was very, very shocked, or would have been very, very shocked if they had a better season than last year, and they already have.
Yeah.
So I can't say that it wouldn't be progress, but I think the way that it would have to happen for that to occur would be devastating.
Yeah.
And no one would say, oh, well, at least they won more games than last year. No one would say that.
My dad texted me the other day and said, at the beginning of the season, I made a note of your prediction on the podcast. You predicted the Rockies would win 90 games.
There you go. So you were more right than I was.
If they stay on 90 wins, then everything is bad and nothing is good. Hopefully they would host the wild card game, which no, I don't want that anymore. And Paul Goldschmidt would be National League MVP. Hey, Paul Goldschmidt post May,
he's put up MVP
he's been
numbers.
The National
yeah.
League MVP. So yeah. I'm not gonna knock myself too bad for that. But hopefully I was low on the 90
if they win 90 games, they're 89 wins right now. They could still win the division.
Yeah.
So you
yeah,
were
that's true. That's true.
You would not be wrong there. So
okay, I love this question from Eli Pollitt at Eli_Pollitt. Do the Rockies celebrate if they clinch the wild card? So i.e. tonight, right. Do the Rockies celebrate if they just clinch a playoff berth, if the Cardinals lose this game this afternoon, the Rockies win tonight, or did they keep it together and chase the National League West? I hope they don't celebrate. If the Cardinals lose today and the Rockies win tonight, go through the postgame handshake, show it's all business. Tomorrow you're going for a division title.
I agree to a certain extent. The game tomorrow night is at 5 or 6 o'clock local time. I agree to an extent, but I think you should celebrate a little bit because of what an accomplishment it is just to make the playoffs in a 6-month, 162 game season. Just to make the playoffs is such a massive accomplishment. I know you have more work to do, and you would have more work to do. Give yourself a little bit of credit.
That's true.
Don't go all out and drink till 4 a.m.
Yeah.
But let yourself enjoy it and then come back out and win the division the next day.
Yeah. I don't know if I want a full on champagne bath in the clubhouse type of celebration, but if there's a jumping around on the mound and at second base with everybody like the D-backs did in 2007 after they clinched the division, that's fine.
Right.
That's fine.
So I think that's more okay.
Here's a really good one, and one that I don't really want to discuss because it's an off-season related thing, and thank God it's September 28th and we don't have to talk about the off-season. But I think it's a very valid question, especially where we are and the lineup decisions that we've seen as of late. From Jason Vandertweeden, quote, "Since management hates young players and Breidich is good at trades, can you see anyone such as Tapia or Hoffman being a trade piece in the offseason?" Raimel Tapia
or Hoffman. Yeah, of course. I mean, Tapia's never going to get a fair shake here, unfortunately.
Apparently. And continues go out and be Raimel Tapia when he does.
To be fair, in theory, Cargo and Parra probably won't be back next year.
Right.
So you'd have your two outfielders, then would be Blackman and Dahl that are really on the roster right now you want going forward.
Yeah.
Tapia could get a chance to start. I mean, in theory, unless they sign Bryce Harper.
He's out of minor league options.
Right.
So at some point, you got to give him a shot.
So, I could see Tapia. Hoffman is not going to be a trade, I don't think. I think this was just a lost year for him in a little bit. I think I'm not sure how sold they are the back end of their bullpen or the back end of their rotation right now.
Yeah.
Sensatella has pitched pretty well down the stretch. I'm not sure they think of him as a starter going forward necessarily. So I think Hoffman is still that piece, that question mark that you still need. I mean, the guys that are going to be getting chances next year, the young guys like Hoffman, Peter Lambert, they'll get opportunities next year to start, especially in spring training, and see how it goes. And then after that, I don't know. But if you can get a better piece, then of course, Tapia and Hoffman will be the pieces that people will ask for. Though Tapia's the shine has come up because the Rockies have kept him down for so long that people don't think he's a prospect anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's true. The Rockies, Raimel Tapia is a beanie baby from the 98 All-Star game that had a lot of value at one time. The Rockies held on to him for too long, and now he's worth $5.99 in the bargain bin at Bill's Sports Collectibles.
Right.
You know? Like, it's just not that exciting.
Yeah.
Still exciting to us, but,
All right, from Tyler Q in Utah, please rank your Mount Rushmore of Rockies Twitter users from Utah. So off top of my head, I have Tyler Q, of course, Purple Row BK, Brian Kilpatrick. We have Hayden Ringer, HJ Rockies, Graham SLC, our buddy there. And of course, NLK Stevens, Nick Stevens. Nilk Stevens. So I know that's five, obviously.
Yeah.
But
let's just add another head. Let's put them all up.
Yeah, let's put all the heads up there.
Yeah, we're not going to cut one of you out.
Yeah.
If we were, obviously, it's Brian Kilpatrick.
Yeah, I mean, what has that guy ever done for us?
Nothing. What has he ever, come on here for, half-hour interviews at a time and been super gracious and awesome?
Yeah, and also was the leading person screw who put us on Purple Row in the first place. Yeah, yeah.
Screw that guy.
Yeah, screw that guy. He's out.
When I posted a picture on Instagram about getting a house, Brian commented and said, what a coincidence. That looks like the place that I'll be staying next time I'm in Denver. And then I responded a few hours later and said, oh, I'm sorry I couldn't reply earlier. I was painting a big sign that says Brian's room and hanging it above the guest room.
I think I was painting a big picture that said no Brian's allowed and hanging it on the front door.
With a backwards R, the little rascals.
Tyler Q, we have not had him on the podcast, even though he keeps asking us every single day, be on the podcast. We're like, hey, come on, man, you have your own podcast.
Here's the thing about this podcast. It sucks, man.
Why would you ever want to be on our podcast?
Why would you want to be on this podcast? Of all the podcasts that are out there,
we're a bunch of morons.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
I think so. But Tyler's got his own podcast, The Very Cool Podcast with Tyler Q. Hayden would spend too much time talking about run differential because he's such a math nerd. Graham and his adorable wife, they have these cute travels together, and it's awesome, and they're such nice people. I think he's got to go up there as well. And Nick Stevens, poor Nick Stevens, he's having some kidney stones right now. That's just a tough go at all times. So I feel bad for Nick and his kidneys. So I'll put him up there. So definitely Purbro BK off because, you know, we don't need him.
No, we don't need him.
So I think, you know, I think it's, you know, all for the Mount Rushmore. I think you're all four up there. Like, there's no one's better than another. So I think those four guys, you know, and then like Purbro BK, like, you know, right in the back, you know,
he can be the crazy horse.
Yeah.
He can have his own thing. It's like sort of the same, but different. You know,
and then this is on top of this. Well, from another Nick at 303 to NYC says, I'm more curious who wins in a battle between Rocky Switter, Utah and Rocky Switter, Wyoming.
Ooh.
So Rocky Switter, Wyoming would be me, Rio is rad. Renee 307 and Drumstick 26, Nick Kaufman, from what I can gather. I don't know. I think, you know, Rio and I have a symbolic relationship because our significant others are D-backs fans, and so we can bond over that, and we can combine our powers and like the Wonder Twins and have like love dealing with the D-backs, like, you know.
Yeah, true. You guys have like the rings you can put together and form a beam of energy.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I know all the rest of us would laugh at you and be like, man, look at these other cute Rocky Mountain states. You're adorable.
Yeah. Like, you know, do I get to claim our pals at Humble Monster? Because they're Wyoming kids.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But I know they've been in Denver for a decade. Yeah. But, you know.
No, we're going to claim them. Sorry. You don't get them. You don't get them back ever. All right, my kidneys are going to explode if I sit here any longer.
Yeah, man. This has been an hour and a half podcast. I think we're all right.
Yeah, it's been terrific. All right. Well, here's the thing about this weekend. Enjoy it.
Please, please enjoy it
tonight. Just go out and have fun. The next 3 days, if you get to celebrate a division title, whatever it is, just go out and have fun. This is what you live for as a baseball fan. It's what you live for as a Rockies fan. You've never seen it. This is 25. Some of us have been waiting since we were in the third level of Mile High Stadium at 7 years old, watching Eric Young hit a home run in April of 1993 for this moment. Just don't forget that. Don't forget this is what you've always wanted. Go out and have fun.
Yeah. Don't think that the other shoe is about to drop. Don't be that
Which is difficult for us.
I know, like, but don't be that
But don't
fan.
Do it. Don't
being
do
being
it.
That
exactly.
fan has got to be exhausting. Don't be like, oh, they're going to blow it this weekend. Oh, they'll blow
don't
it in the playoffs.
Don't be Randy Quaid from Major League.
Just
Major League 2.
Enjoy something that's never happened before in the history of the Rockies. You got a chance to see history.
Exactly. It's going to be fun. All right, we'll talk to you next week when we're previewing the National League Division Series.
Ah!
Love you!
Bye!